Hello and welcome back to the Mixed Beatles Rap Review Podcast. Today, joined once again by that of Trujillo and Tito. And today is November 22nd, 2020, which marks the 10-year anniversary of the critically acclaimed, the somewhat controversial, the very polarizing rap album that is My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy by none other than Kanye West. One that has a lot of opinions, a lot of very strong feelings towards it, especially from that of us. And yeah, we kind of just want to talk about it today on the 10-year anniversary. So, Tito, what's kind of some of your first memories of My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy? You know, disclaimer, we are rather young. You know, this came out when we were kind of kids, you know what I mean? But do you kind of remember anything like Power being on the radio?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, like you said, we were both 8 years old when this came out, which is crazy. But yeah, I mean, I remember so many songs from this album being so huge. I mean, obviously Power was just everywhere, and yeah, I have a lot of memories of this album before I really knew who Kanye was or what his tracks, what his discography was like. And yeah, it was just a major album when it came out, and it has been for quite some time now.
Yeah, definitely. I do, of course, remember Power, and not even necessarily knowing it was a Kanye track. I think similar to Stronger, you know, you'd hear it maybe kind of like clipped or something, you know what I mean? And like, oh, it's like that cool, epic-sounding music, but, you know, then learning it's actually an amazing rap song with some really cool bars, and especially Power, you know what I mean? Like, there is just quality on this thing like none other, and it's really, really quite a masterpiece, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, and you know, I don't think I listened to this album all the way through till, God, probably a couple of years ago. And yeah, I mean, when you go through it, when you go through the whole album, just sitting down and listening to it all, it really showcases what makes this album so special. And I think it really contributes to how polarizing it is and how much of a masterpiece lots of people think it is.
Oh, I definitely have to agree there. I remember, you know, getting into rap and hearing songs, you know, like, oh, Runaway is so amazing, and, you know, Monster and stuff being pretty popular. But then I remember the day I got Apple Music for the first time, I downloaded, the first thing I have downloaded is all of Ye, because it just came out, and all of My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, because I was so ready to listen to the full thing all the way through, as well as College Dropout, which I ended up doing first. But I remember going through this and just being so impressed and it feeling nothing like I've ever heard before. Just in terms of, like, I've never felt an album be so coherent in terms of a storyline and a feeling that you kind of, like, just flow through and with everything all together. And especially some of these tracks being super long, I've never, like, noticed is a good way to put it. You know, when I listen to So Appalled, I know there's a lot of verses and, you know, a long runtime, but it doesn't feel like, you know, 6.5 minutes. And, you know, Runaway, you know, it can maybe tend to drag along, but, you know, totally worth it to me, in my opinion, and just super great in terms of listening from the start to the end of the album.
Oh, yeah, and I think it's definitely worth talking about, like, how revolutionary that kind of idea was back then, because, you know, you have to think, in 2010, there was no real rap albums or honestly albums in general that had this kind of storyline, this like theme. I mean, you know, to think of a 9-minute rap song, you know, being Runaway before 2010, that was just revolutionary, you know. And I think nowadays artists have kind of started to jump into that more. I mean, you know, a few albums that come to mind is Nasir and Good Kid, Mad City, with some longer tracks and a good storyline like this. But yeah, for the time, it was really revolutionary.
Yeah, and I think mentioning a Kendrick album, I actually would like to compare it to Pimp a Butterfly. And I feel sometimes when people have criticisms of albums like this, it's more in terms of their music taste and the palatability of the album is sometimes not as good to them, because they think of it in the more, you know, nuanced music listening. And what that means is people are looking for singles, you know, they're looking for hot tracks, you know, not a lot of you know, mainstream rappers nowadays focus on having an entire deep, you know, hour plus project, you know what I mean? It's a lot more on these single highlights that they, you know, make popular on social media and stuff. And albums like this and To Pimp a Butterfly are basically the opposite of that. You know, they're not, you know, radio hits. They're 9-6 minute long songs that flow together as one coherent art piece, and that's what you have to rate it on instead of the individual tracks.
Oh yeah, definitely. And that's not to say that this album doesn't have some individual bangers. I mean, you know, as we've talked about, Power is an amazing, I mean, there are a few songs on this album that were just amazing singles, you know, and could stand on their own without fitting into the cohesive album. But yeah, I mean, it is definitely worth saying that we will be kind of judging this based on the whole storyline of the album and listening to it start from finish.
Yeah, for sure. I think one cool thing to mention is also the Runaway kind of movie that Kanye West has made and came out with. And actually recently, just a couple days ago, he released a full clean version of the Runaway movie, which was rather interesting. I thought it was kind of cool, you know. Nowadays, we kind of think of Kanye being so far removed from some of his older, you know, more important and, you know, quality stuff. So it's pretty cool to see that he had the, you know, kind of in his new spiritual journey, the idea to want to go back to one of his greatest projects and make a clean version of it, kind of in the way that he made. What is the exact name of the... Wow, his last album, it's...
Jesus is King.
Wow, I could not...
Shows you how much we listen to that.
Yeah, damn. Sadly. But, you know, he wanted an album that was, you know, sounded like the new age rap and hip-hop, but that could also be listened to, you know, in the car with your family and anything like that. And I think it's cool that he wanted to go back and, you know, make, you know, the Runaway movie similar to that, which I thought was pretty cool.
I actually didn't get a chance to see the new clean version of the Runaway movie. What were the differences that you saw in it?
It was interesting. Some of them you could tell that, like, kind of whole chunks of verses or verses were taken out of it. Other times it was just kind of, you know, a traditional, like, record scratch or something like that. He even had, like, a little ad-lib sometimes to kind of shift a word there or two. But I also did hear a couple swear words, like, sneak their way through.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, there were some things that weren't necessarily censored, you know, I don't know, like, the weird laws with explicity and, like, how that works with, you know, you can say so much without it being deemed not clean or whatnot. But yeah, it was definitely interesting to see. Didn't have the same vibes to me, for sure, but, you know, something cool that I think, like, you know, if I'm maybe in some setting where I can't, you know, be playing all the things on the album, pretty cool. So yeah.
Oh yeah,
but definitely the movie itself, with the whole, you know, cinematography and storyline that he likes putting together with it, was definitely really cool to see. And I thought really helped kind of make the album real in our eyes, you know. Oh, when I listen to Runaway, I always think of that, you know, piano and him in that suit and the ballerinas and all that, you know what I mean? And it just really helps in that imagery, which I think makes the... And I think this kind of brings us to the whole conversation about the art and the masterpiece beyond just the music itself, and the whole experience with creating the album and the art behind it and everything like that. So, Tito, what are some of your thoughts with the whole grandiose, you know, magnum opus that was the creation of this album?
I mean, so for me personally, and I'm sure for a lot of other people too, I think having... This sounds dumb, but I feel like having a good vibe like that, that's the best word I can use to describe it. Like, a good theme and just kind of general feeling with an album really, really aids in its popularity and how well I can receive it. I mean, you know, I think to some of my favorite personal albums, I mean, you know, Blonde had that same kind of idea, same with Endless, where it was just, yeah, you had this whole... art piece. It wasn't just music, you know what I'm saying? It's completely different from just an album.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Kanye recorded this in large part in his kind of getaway out of the country to Hawaii and shift shipped out a lot of these, musicians to help create it with him. And it was super focused. It was super structured. They, dressed up in nice suits and, really formal attire. And a lot of people said, well, working on this album, you could really tell that this was focused. This was clean. This was professional. This had that vibe that this wasn't some, kind of grimy hip hop album, but this was something extravagant and new and, really had a lot of this imagery that really you could, I think personally, it definitely shines through and I can feel a lot of this, it's trying to be its own thing for sure. And I think in a large part, it does it really well. And it doesn't think, it's not too over the top. Maybe it can be at some points, but overall it is doing what it's doing and it's doing that well for the most part, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it has definitely stood the test of time too. I think when this came out, again, it was just really ahead of its time. I mean, it was kind of unheard of to have like this many features, this grandiose of a narrative, and yeah, it really has stood up well today, I feel like, more so than lots of other albums from this time, and even other Kanye albums, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's definitely understandable. A big thing mentioned is, of course, everyone who helped work on the project, in terms of the producers and the features and the guest verses, definitely help it bring it to a new level. Sometimes it maybe, in my opinion, felt a little chaotic, a little too much going on. If I am hearing something like, oh, this has a Raekwon verse, I'm super excited to know that that's coming up and stuff. But, on Gorgeous, it's not necessarily, that's right, it's on,
yeah.
It doesn't necessarily shine through as much. It kind of gets, I think, lost in a lot of the, magnificence that is the album, And so sometimes it can kind of hurt it, but I think in the most part, it's really cool to hear those different voices, not only in the rap game, but also, outside the genre, that he really helps bring it together into something more than just a rap project.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, another thing to mention is how much this album, did for these artists that Kanye featured. I mean, you can point to Nicki Minaj and where her career was at then versus where it's at now. And I think you can say, a lot of her success can be attributed to being featured on this album so heavily. Mm-hmm. You can also look at people like Bon Iver, a few others that were featured on this that, I mean, this might have been some of their best work.
Yeah, for sure. I would mention, almost an opposite of the story with Nicki Minaj with Sci-Hi, how it was kind of this is what brought him, brought everyone's attention to him, but, he didn't really do much after that, super noteworthy. And Rick Ross is kind of an interesting one, but I think this kind of did bring out the best in him, as I think some of you may have heard the story how... I think originally Rick Ross had a really different verse for Devil in a New Dress, but Kanye immediately told him, scrap it and rework it, and he kind of looked at him like, yo, who do you think you are or whatever, but, he made him grind it out, and definitely one of the biggest highlights of his career for sure, and I think that the whole atmosphere behind the album and behind the work and dedication is what really brought the best out of these artists, and it, just makes the album so much better.
Oh, yeah, totally. I think we should go into where we kind of disagree about this album's significance in Kanye's discography in general and what we think about it. So I think I'm definitely more of a My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy fan than Trujillo is, but I don't know. You're a fan of the album too, right?
Yeah, I'm definitely a fan of the album. My opinions on the album have kind of changed throughout time. I remember listening to it and thinking it was really good, but I think maybe a bit of the problem with why I didn't enjoy it so much at first was because it kind of did blend too much together into one thing, and I'm not really always trying to listen to, an hour and 8 minute project, you know what I mean? I'm definitely a huge College Dropout, Late Registration, Graduation fan, and in those, I feel there were so many more moments where I could hit a song, like Through the Wire, or I Wonder, or, Hey Mama, or something, and just have a level of enjoyment that was more than any of the My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy songs on its own, Devil in a New Dress and Runaway just don't really feel the same, not together. And, you know, things like All of the Lights interlude, you know, really only work in the context of everything else. So in terms of, you know, the re-listenability, it only really works alone, and because of that, it makes it kind of not so versatile, in my opinion, and that's why I had some negative opinions of it in the past, but I can definitely understand the quality of the album in total, and that's why, you know, it's been so popular. So I guess, Tito, what my question to you is do you believe that the quality of the album only really lies in the cohesion of it together, or do you think that standalone, all of these tracks are just as same or even better quality of any of his other projects?
Well, I honestly think that's what makes this album so amazing, is that I really do believe that a lot of these tracks can stand on their own pretty well. I mean, obviously, you know, I don't have Runaway in my library. I don't have All of the Lights interlude in my library. I don't think I even have Who Will Survive in America. But, like, all of these tracks, other than those few tracks, I feel like I feel comfortable just playing one track at a time and being like, dang, that's a banger, you know? Like, I don't know. And it's amazing that you can make a bunch of good single tracks like that and cohese, like, work so well together in an album. And I think that's what really contributes to such a great art piece like this, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely understandable. I think one thing that does need to be noted is we are talking so much about how this is so grand and so extravagant, but it was still a rap album. It still showed Kanye. It still showed his character. You know, there's songs like Hell of a Life, which definitely isn't, you know, the most classical and clean thing or whatever. It definitely shows through his own, you know, kind of personal quirks and things like that that really make it its own. And I can understand why some people maybe think that takes away from it and, you know, kind of hurts it in terms of maybe if he was a little more focused and was wanting to make this only this perfect masterpiece, it would be maybe like one of the best rap albums of all time. But also a lot of people like to say that he almost ruins it, you know, kind of things like on Monster and stuff kind of just make that credibility and seriousness of the album kind of, you know, hurt itself. So I don't know, what is your opinions with that? Do you think it kind of helps it or hurts it, Kanye's, you know, personal touch with the album?
Oh I definitely agree with it. Yeah, I think that's a whole nother discussion to have about the like actual lyrics that you can hear on this album. And yeah, like you were talking about songs like Hell of a Life, I think they definitely detract from the overall theme of the album. And, you know, I still think they're amazing songs in their own right. But, yeah, it doesn't really work too well with that theme of untainted grandiosity and just, you know, like what Kanye was, I feel like, trying to go for here. But at the same time, I feel like it could also be argued that, like, you know, it's My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. It's Kanye's quirks working in conjunction with all of the beauty that he kind of wants to express to the world. And I mean, yeah, I definitely think it does hurt the album having these kind of more gritty, I guess, gritty lyrics, gritty themes in a few of these songs. But I mean, yeah, it might have been what Kanye was going for, and if that was it, I applaud him.
Yeah, I think that is something good to note. This is his beautiful dark twisted fantasy. This isn't just his beautiful fantasy. And, you know, these kind of little, you know, quirks about him do shine through, and I think in an important way. It talks about him in the fame and in the spotlight that only, you know, continue to happen as him, you know, kind of in this persona that he imagined with himself so long of being in the spotlight, and, you know, the negativity that things like the media can have on him. And, you know, it really does paint a lot of showing Kanye in a way that is himself and is really his story, but in a way that is so also not personal and can be separated and just looked at as such an enjoyable song that isn't necessarily connected to the artist, which I think he does in just a great way. It's also important to note that this does include some of Kanye's best verses in all of his discography. Some of his lines on Gorgeous and Power mm-hmm. specifically are great, great works of lyricism and imagery, and he uses tons of great wordplay. Some of them are, you know, kind of more on this fun and, you know, kind of personal side of him, but some of them are just genuinely really well-made verses that I think totally need the credit that they deserve. You know, even on tracks like Dark Fantasy, which I think, you know, intro the album in probably one of the best ways I have ever seen an album start, for sure. And, you know, it of course wraps up great too with Who Will Survive in America. I've always imagined that song as more of a kind of a like a movie credit kind of, you know, mm-hmm. ending track. Yeah, it's a track, good, you know? Send-off, yeah. It's a perfect send-off. You know, so much of this is so great, but I can also understand why, if you kind of look at this in a different lens, if you look at this kind of track by track from a critic standpoint, it might not have the same weight, you know what I mean? It can maybe look at as a little too much, a little trying to do a little much, and because of that I can understand some criticisms of it, but overall I think what you should do is look at it as just what it is and just what it was trying to accomplish. And I think if you look at it in that way, it definitely has the success it deserves. You know, it was rap album of the year, are really close to being album of the year, I believe, and you know, overall just a super important part of his, you know, whole discography. And yeah, that's,
oh yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and I think it, for most people, it's their favorite Kanye album. For me, it's definitely up there. I don't know, it's one of those things that you kind of go back on every month or two and think, man, is it really that good? But yeah, it really was an amazing work of art. And if you look at it through that lens of just saying, yeah, look at this whole theme, look at it as a cohesive work of art, I think that's the best way to understand it.
For sure. It's so weird. It has such an asterisk, you know what I mean? It like really kind of helps with the theme of being just so much and so different, you know what I mean? If you talk about, you know, maybe a debate on just favorite Kanye albums or even, you know, best rap albums of all time, I see people include this in their number one or top 10 spot, you know what I mean? But I also completely understand people having this, you know, bottom three Kanye, or even, you know, not even in a top 25 album of all time conversation, just because it's so different and it does something that I feel not really any other rap album I've heard does, and definitely in to this level, and, you know, definitely something to at least note, you know, very important about this project as a whole.
Oh yeah, definitely. Should we get into some ratings for this album? Or?
Yeah, I mean, right. Wasn't necessarily my whole focus of going into this. Kind of just wanted to talk through maybe, I don't know, maybe before that, what are some of, like, the impacts you think you see from this? You know, kind of looking back on it on 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what are some of the things that this kind of changed in the musical landscape or, you know, done in your eyes?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, like I was talking about earlier, I think it was just revolutionary for its time. I mean, you know, you think about some of the other stuff that is coming out in the mid-2000s, 2010, like, nothing can really hold a candle to this in terms of how thematic it was and, yeah, what a work of art it was. And, I mean, I think a lot of artists have tried to replicate that in recent years, and, you know, some do better than others. I mean, like I was talking about earlier, I think Kendrick has accomplished it pretty well with Good Kid, Mad City and To Pimp a Butterfly, but I don't know. Thinking about other artists that have done something similar to this, it's kind of hard to come up with some names, but yeah, I think this was probably one of his most influential albums. I would hesitate to say the most because of what he's done kind of recently, but I mean, yeah, I think it has crazy influence. It's tried to have been replicated so many times.
Yeah, for sure. It's just so interesting. I feel even there's like a kind of new resurgence of listening to kind of some old Kanye. And so often I hear people, you know, say like, oh, Runaway is like the best song I've ever heard. And, you know, I don't personally agree. I definitely think it has some amazing moments and some really great quality. and aspects of a rap song or really any song that I've never felt or heard before in quite that way. And so it's definitely different. It definitely has that, you know, creativity. But I feel it's just something that's so hard to rate, and that's why I wasn't necessarily sure if this is going to be a review or kind of just a talk and a reflection. But, you know, this album is just so polarizing and divisive that I feel it just is just so interesting, in my opinion, and just how something can be so, you know, loved and accredited and enjoyed by so many people, but at the same time be looked at in comparison to other albums that don't have this extravagance and just looked at as kind of more of this weird quirk and a gimmick in a way, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, just definitely a really interesting album, definitely has inspired tons of artists and, you know, a lot of these, it's also kind of flipped the script with terms of like what an album should look like in terms of length, you know what I mean? We don't have a single track that even is around 2 minutes, you know? Like, that's so interesting. Mm-hmm. If you think of, you know, for the majority of albums, you have, you know, what, 2 minute, 30 second songs, oh, yeah, 30 things minutes, like that, yeah. Super average. This thing goes from, you know, 9 minutes and 8 seconds to, you know, a minute 34 and a minute, you know, 02. I understand those are like the interlude and the outro, but it just is so different and it's just so interesting to me, and I think but really gives so much of the, you know, aura behind the Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Oh yeah, totally. It's completely revolutionary. Well, do we have any more comments about it?
Not really. I don't think so. I kind of just, you know, it's the 10-year anniversary, which is, you know, so crazy to think that, you know, it feels like so late in Kanye's career when you look at like kind of the timeline of his albums, you know what I mean? And just really goes to show like also his ability to stay in the game. You know, we saw like Kids See Ghosts have so much quality and kind of similarities to this, you know, with the help of Kid Cudi. And we also have some of the same quality that we saw on tracks back from his, you know, very first project. And so I think this is really a great album to kind of bridge the two together, and one that, of course, every hip-hop fan should listen to, especially one wanting to understand the whole context of Kanye, not only as an artist, but also as a person and, you know, figure in media and the spotlight.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah.
All right, well, any last words about My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, Tito?
I don't know. Great album. Yeah, definitely recommend it. It's something you have to listen to. I don't know. I feel like I'd go back to it like every 1 or 2 months. And I'm just like, damn, that is a work of art.
Yep, it is definitely quite the work of art. It has so much artistic meaning and, you know, passion and time put into it. And one that I think really will also stand the test of time and always be something that people at least remember about Kanye. And so with that, I hope this is the 10-year anniversary kind of look back on My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, and we hope to see you in the future with new rap reviews, hopefully some cooler albums come out, crossing our fingers for some Kendrick still, and yeah, we will see you next time. Thank you.